Disabled Person's Voice. The importance of advocacy for people locked up in special schools. I cannot remember being asked by anyone in authority whether I had an opinion about going to a residential special school. I was perfectly happy at Day Special School in Manchester. I was doing really well, I had lots of friends, and of course I was living with my family. However, my special school was changing. Originally, it was for physically disabled children, but now it would be receiving children with learning impairments as well. When I was about 11, I heard staff talking about me going to another school. The next thing I knew, I was going to a boarding school in Kent, 200 miles away from my family. This was an enormous event, and I had no way of understanding its implications at the time. I now know how crucial it is for young disabled children to have their voice heard in all decisions that affect their lives. My going to residential special school was for the convenience of professionals and not for my education. There was nobody to speak up for or with me and my parents. No one explained the profound implications for me as a disabled child being sent away from the family I loved. I have two older sisters, one older brother, and two younger brothers. I absolutely hated this school. It was horrible. When a few years ago I asked my siblings about my going away, my brother, who was 10 at the time, said the school did not look a happy place. My sisters said it was like I was put onto one side for a while. Some children attend residential special school from a really young age. I was 13 when I first went down to Kent. Whilst I was there, it was like we were cut off from the rest of society. Children who go to a special residential school at 4 or 5 years old may never know what it is like to be part of society. Once they have left school, providing that they do not get put into a residential special educational needs college, they could be fearful of the wider society as they would not have much experience of life in the community at all. Before I went to boarding school, I used to go out with my eldest brother and watch him play football with his friends, but that stopped and it never rekindled again when I came home for good. Whoever decides children and young people with disabilities should go into residential special schools and colleges takes away their family life and friendships, and it may be hard to get this back again. The more time I spent at boarding school, the more I felt the teachers cared less and less about my education. I was starting to do what I had already done at the school in Manchester, and it was extremely frustrating. I tried to tell the teachers how I felt, but they did not take any notice of me. I became invisible to them. There must be thousands of disabled people with similar experiences to me. I was really lucky that whilst I was at boarding school, my mother and father never left it 3 weeks without seeing me. They came down to visit me at school in between holidays. A lot of the children and young people at my school did not see their families for 6 or 7 weeks at a time. I was fortunate to have the ongoing support of my family before, during and after my boarding special school trauma. I actually felt like a prisoner at school. It was bad enough during the week when classes were on, but the evenings and weekends were dire. I had no real friends. During free time, I would go around in my electric wheelchair alone with no one to talk to. Looking back, I desperately needed someone to discuss honestly what boarding school was. I am sure I would never have gone, although I'm not sure if I would have had a choice since the decision had already been taken by the authority. Sometimes I think I should have told people what I thought of boarding school at the time, but as I was never encouraged to express my views, I now realise I did not have the capacity to speak up for myself. This is a consequence of segregated schooling. It undermines confidence and a sense of self. We know many disabled children have been in residential special schools for their entire schooling lives. They may not know what goes on outside the walls which contain and control them. I use these words because people who work in them assume they have to protect disabled children from the outside world. This protection is oppressive. Disabled children stuck in residential special schools have no idea about non-disabled children, and they in turn have no appreciation of the talents and personalities of disabled people. Children in special schooling require good independent advocacy so that their voice is heard. I cannot remember any teacher talking about boarding school. Some guidance on this transition may have stopped me from going to residential special educational needs school, and my positive educational prospects might have begun earlier. The sense of being locked up was a painful experience to me. It was a frightening ordeal being away from home and on my own. I had no confidence to talk to people and tell them how I felt. I wanted to tell teachers that I wanted more academic work and I knew I was capable. If only I had had an advocate to speak out with me. Speaking up for oneself or having someone speak up with you is a really important concept. My PhD thesis is about advocacy for young disabled people. The fieldwork for my research was set in a special school where I held advocacy sessions. One particular young person was 17 and about to leave school, and I discovered he had no method of communication. How can an individual go through his schooling years and have his voice denied? The teachers at the school were keen for me to talk to their students, but they were not prepared to listen to them. From my observations at my own residential special school, the teachers did not give me anything to do. I noticed some young people were learning, but it was obvious to me that the teachers did not have enough patience with the children who had the severest impairments. I include myself in this group. The young man with no means of communication, I realised, could indicate yes and no with his eyes up and down. I could not believe how simple yet effective this was, and yet the school failed to recognise that he could communicate in this way. It must have been terribly frustrating for him. Having multiple impairments myself, including a speech impairment, I could understand how infuriating it is to have people not know what I am saying. It is vital for disabled children to be listened to, using whatever communication method works for the individual, calling upon advocacy where required to ensure the child's voice is integral to all decisions made about her or him. There should be no special schools. There should be a whole new education system where disabled and non-disabled people are educated together. In the meantime, every special school should have appropriate numbers of advocates for children to have their voice valued and heard. This should not be optional, but essential. Life beyond special schools is unknown to the children who are segregated from the rest of society. This is wrong. Children have a right to participate, contribute, and live a full life in society. A fuller version of this article is available on our blog, www.alfie.org.uk/blog. This article was by Dr. Paul Doyle.